Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. I'm Jeanette.
And I'm Emily.
Oh my goodness, we're back. I'm so sorry. It's been so crazy. So
yeah, we've started classes and stuff, and with work in general, things have been, well, hectic for both of us.
Dude, I know.
It's been hard to find the time.
I feel like I've been working so much, and then I was also like, God, I've been so behind on homework, so that has taken over my life.
Oh, yeah, but, no, for sure.
But yeah, it's okay, because we are going to record today, and we're recording on Sunday, like, two episodes, so we're coming for y'all. Watch out. Yes,
so this episode will be posted tomorrow, so on Saturday.
Okay.
And so probably the Sunday episode will be posted on Monday, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get it out then. Yeah.
Yeah,
we definitely will.
Yeah, we'll ooh, and then I can post the pictures on Instagram so y'all know. Also, in case y'all didn't know from our Instagram and Twitter, right? Emily has a spin-off podcast where it's like quick little cases. That way you can, like, keep listening just, like, on your way to, like, work or something like that.
Yeah, it's called True Crime Commute, and its whole point is literally just listening while you're commuting. I only have one episode out now, and it's the Michael Malloy case, which, okay, if you haven't heard the Michael Malloy case, you need to listen to it. And I have an episode coming out, I think, tomorrow or the day after that as well. So that's super exciting.
Yes. Very excited. I love the concept of like 10 to 15 minute episodes.
Yeah.
Just so you can because like this one, our podcast here, y'all know they're like almost an hour long episode, and you can't just hear from the beginning to end on your way to work or school or to your friend's house, whatever.
It would have to be like a specific thing.
Yes, exactly. So that's exciting. I actually listened to your Michael Malloy one, even though I've heard it already, like the story.
Thank you.
I listened to it because I was like, ooh, I want to see like the intro and the outro. I like it, guys.
Yeah.
So make sure y'all check that out as well if you love.
It's much more serious.
It is very serious. It's intense, guys.
Which isn't but my yeah, personality.
What? No, no, like no, I feel like it's just more it's more straight to the point. So if y'all want like to hear those cases on your way to wherever, True Crime Commute, guys.
And I'll put a link to it in the like the description of the podcast. So
yes, of course. And it's also on our Instagram too. So you can go to that podcast Instagram through ours if you want to see it and get like the links and stuff.
And we will plug that at the end. So you have to listen to the whole thing first.
Yes.
So you can't skip. Or look in our description. You have to listen.
You can't do that. Stop it right now. Yeah, and please. Just keep listening.
Yeah, don't leave.
don't, please. I'm here too. Okay. All right. I guess on that note, did you want to get right into it or?
I think we should. Actually, wait, no, I wanted to tell you. So if you guys have listened to a lot of our episodes, you may have heard, like, I have an obsession with the game Harvest Moon.
Oh, yes.
I got a new game like a week or so ago, and it's literally just like Harvest Moon, and it's called Story of the Seasons, and I've played it a lot, and it's really fun to play it in between like researching my case, because the case is so, it's terrible. And so,
oh gosh,
you know, I can just like go, okay, I can just like go farm and stuff like that in between it, and it's incredible. And it has a really weird function in the game where if you walk up to items and you press A, it will tell you what that item is. Like it'll say table or shelves.
That's my favorite part. That's the only reason why I would get the game right there.
It's
I just want to know what it is. There's this thing on the side of my bed. Yeah. Where I put like my candles and I plug my phone in and set it on the, I don't know what it is. So
you would walk up to it and press A.
Yes. So this game might be able to help me out with that. Unless you know what it is, but I don't think you do. So we need to test that.
Don't.
It's okay, like a little table on the side of my bed. It's bothering me. Anyways,
All right, so on that note, let's get into today's case.
Alrighty. I'm ready to get disturbed.
Oh yeah.
Also, welcome to spooky season, guys. All right, anyways.
Oh, yeah. No, it's September 18th. Yeah. Nice.
Literally, September and October are spooky. Yes. September is spooky, and you can't
for sure. No, it is. It's like a prelude to the more spooky month. It's okay.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, anyways. All right, I'm listening. Let's go.
All right, so you remember the Joseph Fritzl case, right? That's our, by far most popular episode. For those of you that haven't heard it, I'll give you a quick recap, but please go listen to it. It was basically a man kidnapped his own daughter and kept her captive for 24 years.
Oh, it's disgusting. His face makes me want to cry.
Did you post that one picture on the Instagram of him?
Of his face? I think you did.
That's really scary one.
Yeah, that's when you had that's when I couldn't log into the account. Do you remember for a while couldn't get into it?
It was weird.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you were the one that posted it. But yes, it's on there. So if y'all want to go, okay. I just double checked to make sure it was there, and it is.
I'm doing the same thing. There it is.
It's there. Disgusting. It's near the scary Dasani bottle. So.
Oh yeah.
It's close to it.
Okay, so anyway, I'm sorry. So is this going to be similar to that case? And this man is just as disgusting to look at, by the way. But today we are going to be talking about the kidnapping and the surviving of Michelle Knight, Amanda Berry, and Gina De Jesus. Have you heard of this before?
I have not heard of these names, so probably not. But I'm not really good with names, so I might know. I don't know.
You might. So, the one that I think is the person that is the most well known out of them is probably Amanda Berry. Her parents were very vocal in trying to find her and everything like that. So you may have heard her name a few times. And this is a fun fact to kind of be like a palate cleanser, even though we haven't even gotten into the bad stuff. This show was like the inspiration for the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Really?
Yeah. Like, you know how at the beginning of the show they have a guy whose interview is auto-tuned?
Yeah.
That happens at the end of this case. So we'll talk about it in the next episode.
What?
But yeah. Okay. No, it's like that same kind of thing. And also the general story is pretty similar.
Okay.
Except not like TV sensitive, you know, if that makes any sense. Like, it's sad.
Oh. Okay, well, I am ready to hear all of this now.
So we're not going to talk about Amanda Berry or Gina De Jesus today. We are only going to focus on Michelle Knight. But before we get into her, I'd like to tell you about this piece of absolute shit named Ariel Castro.
Ariel?
Yeah, like the Disney princess. But it's a Puerto Rican name.
Okay, okay. Yeah.
I was confused.
I heard Ariel, like Areola.
Oh.
Like, you know.
Okay, I want to put that as our title for this episode, but I don't think that would go over well. So we're not going to do that.
All right.
So Areola Castro. He was born in Puerto Rico on July 10th, 1960, and he was born to Pedro Castro and Lillian Rodriguez. They ended up divorcing and they moved to, or Lillian took the children and they moved to Reading, Pennsylvania, and then they ended up moving to Cleveland, Ohio. In Cleveland, Ohio, it is where his father lived and his other family members were living. He had 9 siblings, and it was like both whole siblings and half siblings. He says that while he was a kid, he was sexually assaulted. And he blames his later behavior that we will talk about on that. And I just, it makes me very mad. I'll tell you about some of the context in which he says it a little bit later. But yeah, he basically blames it all on that. So he graduated from high school in 1979. And then he ended up meeting his girlfriend, Grimilda Figueroa. And this was like right after he graduated. When his family moved across the street from her in the 1980s, and then they moved into their own home, Grimilda and Ariel, in 1992, which was at 2207 Seymour Avenue. This is in Cleveland, Ohio. Oh, this case is also called the Cleveland abductions, by the way.
Okay.
They know it better by that name. Because usually it doesn't have, unfortunately, like, the names of the victims in it. Which I think is a little weird, right?
No, that is very weird. I feel like that's more important. But
yeah, or some people call it the Ariel Castro kidnappings. And I'm like, I don't want to give him credit.
You're like, why? I don't want to hear his name. I want to hear their name. I like, hear go about away.
The badass women that survived this piece of crap.
Exactly.
All right. Anyway, so this house was a two-story, 1,400-foot, four-bedroom, one-bathroom house, and it had an unfinished basement, and this was built in 1890. So as soon as they moved in together, all hell started breaking loose. So that's a good sign, right? And he would frequently abuse her and beat her, which caused her nose to break, her ribs to break, and her arms to break. And in the end, it caused a blood clot in her brain, which resulted in a tumor, which is in the end how she ended up dying, was from that tumor.
Mm-hmm.
So,
this is so sad.
Yeah, it is.
So there is a death in this case.
Yeah, there is. I'm sorry.
How dare you? How
we'll
dare
get, you? Yes, I'm very sorry.
It's okay, go on.
So he also threw her down a flight of stairs, which made her crack her skull in 1993. And he was arrested for domestic violence, but he was not indicted by a grand jury. You know?
Right.
So listen, this guy gets away with an unbelievable amount of crap. Okay? So there are many times in which they went to the house because they had a reason to be there. They knocked like four times. There wasn't an answer. So they left, including people saying something like, there are girls in this house and I hear screaming, and they just knocked and then they left. And sometimes they didn't even go. So if you remember how mad at the police we were in the last episode with Shanna Grice,
I'm sorry, what was that?
Do you remember how mad we were at police in the last episode with Shanna Grice?
Yes.
Yeah, so I feel this is similar.
Oh my gosh.
Just similar kind of anger.
Here we go. We're back at that again.
Oh yeah. So Grimilda, she ended up moving out of the house in 1996, and she did get custody of all four of their children. So the police detained him, but they did not press charges against him. Awesome. After she left him, he continued to threaten and attack her. And apparently he would abduct their daughters. So you know how in like some divorce cases, like some parents will abduct their children just to like have them, you know?
Yes.
That's the kind of thing.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. That's the kind of thing that he was doing. She ended up getting a temporary restraining order, but it dismissed a couple of months later. Yeah.
Okay.
Grimilda ended up passing away in 2012 due to complications with her brain tumor.
I'm so sad.
And what I have in my notes here is literally, I am sick of talking about this man, so we are going to move on to Michelle Knight, who was the first victim.
I love your little notes. Love
I
that.
Have like a frowny face later on in them. So
oh.
You're ready for that. Okay. All right. So Michelle Knight has genuinely one of the saddest stories I've ever heard. And if you want to hear more about her, I would highly recommend her book, Finding Me, A Decade of Darkness and a Life Reclaimed.
Dang, that title though.
Yeah, I know, right? And this is where I actually got literally all of my information about her.
I mean, that's good. It was a direct source. I mean,
yeah, exactly. And Amanda Berry and Gina De Jesus do also have a book. I'm going to go ahead and plug that before I forget about it. And I will plug it, obviously, in the next episode. But this one is called Hope, A Memoir of Survival in Cleveland by Amanda Berry and Gina De Jesus. So.
Okay.
There you go. There are our two, like, sources, main sources. So she was born on April 23rd, 1981, and she grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. Whenever she was a young girl, she did want to be a firefighter, but she ended up changing it to become a veterinarian whenever she was a little bit older.
I wanted to be a vet when I was little.
I did too. I feel like that's just a, I don't know, it seems like a very, like, a kid thing wanted, like, not, it's not like a kid job, you know?
No, I get what you're saying. It's like something everyone's like, oh yeah, I wanted to do that when I was little. Because, like, yeah, every little kid is like, I want to help animals.
It's like a dream job kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which is really cute, honestly.
No, it's adorable.
So she grew up in a very toxic and abusive home. And she does, like, talk about that in her book. She does go into more detail on that. So she lived in a home with her parents and her small twin brothers and a bunch of other family of hers. So at the very young age, I believe that she was 9 years old, 9 or 10, she began to be sexually assaulted by a member of her family. She never says who this was, which is very respectful of her. But he would threaten her every single time, and this became a recurring thing through, like, all of her life, basically.
It is so sad.
It is. And it's terrible that grown men think that they can take advantage of a little girl. It's disgusting. It's terrible. It's so many things.
Ugh.
And I will never
understand.
Yeah. So she was also made fun of at school for not smelling nice. And that is always the most sad thing to me, is whenever children are made fun of for that reason.
That is so sad.
Like, I can't. Yeah, that was a big bark that came from over there.
Oh, like from here, Nash?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Let me go see if he's okay.
Okay, cool.
All right. Oh my goodness. I don't know why he was barking, but I gave him food. Maybe he was hungry.
Oh, maybe.
All right. Let's resume. Sorry.
Okay. Let's. All right. So she ended up running away from her home whenever she was 15 years old, and she lived underneath an overpass for a while.
What?
Yeah. Like, for quite a while, she lived under an overpass. And there was a very nice Baptist man who would often go there and help her. And he would take her into his church, and he would, like, give her food and stuff. Which is so sweet.
It's very sweet.
And honestly, whenever I was reading this, I was like, oh gosh, what's going to happen to this poor girl? But no, this part's good. He would just take her in, and he made her feel very comfortable and at home. So
sweet.
Very sweet. So while she was living underneath the overpass, she met a guy who introduced himself by the name of Sniper. And he offered her a job of running weed and ecstasy. And she ended up going with him. He gave her a place to live and clothes and made sure that she was being treated well. And he basically treated her like as his own child. And she ended up meeting another boy who lived there named Roderick, and they became pretty close friends. So a little bit later, she was there for quite a while. So a little bit later, Sniper got busted. And so, sorry, I was talking into my tablet to take notes. And instead of saying Roderick, it says Roger. And I was reading and I was like, who is Roger? Okay. So,
oh, Roger.
So Roderick and Michelle, they ended up fleeing the house and then they went back to under the overpass where they were living before. It was a little bit complicated. And in the book, I was reading about how Roderick's religion wouldn't allow him to sleep in the same bed as a girl, even though they had like a very sibling type relationship. So it was just difficult for them in general. She planned, like, they were there for a couple nights, and she was like, oh, well, I can go back to this church because I know the guy that works there. He's very nice. And so that was their plan. And so they ended up going out of their hiding place. But she was spotted by a woman who was friends with her parents, and she told her parents, and she was taken back home. And she did not speak to Roderick ever again, unfortunately, or Sniper.
Okay.
So here she is back in this abusive, terrible household. She mentions in the book that the man who sexually assaulted her would say things like, oh, so you thought you could escape me, or that kind of thing. And like, no, you're trapped here forever. So. Yeah,
it's so scary.
It's absolutely terrifying, yes. So she was forced to be re-enrolled in her school. And so there were like quite a few more family members living there now. In general, just in her house, it was getting like more like swamped and yeah. So she met a boy at her school who in the book she calls Eric. His real name is not in there. And they seemed to immediately start getting along well. And they began to cut class together. And he told her that he loved her. And she really did, like, feel loved. And she ended up becoming pregnant by this boy.
Oh, no.
So, she learned that he had a girlfriend this entire time.
A bitch!
I know. Are you calling him the bitch?
Yes, are you kidding me?
I know you wouldn't call her a bitch, but I thought you meant the girlfriend for a second. I was like, I don't think
we should. No.
Yeah, no, this guy sucks. And he had described Michelle to someone as, oh, well, we hooked up a few times. And that's it. He had told her that he loved her. It's, yeah. Yeah, he said, once Michelle was never my girlfriend, she was just someone I fooled around with a few times. So he never even learned that the son was his, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right.
So she had a son named Joey. And
aww, Joey.
The way that she describes him is the sweetest way. She talks about how, like, dark her life was before, and Joey came, and Joey just, like, really started to, like, brighten up her whole life, and she was just so happy with him, and he was just so sweet. It's just very sweet to read about that. And she calls him her little huggy bear, which is adorable. Like, that is so
huggy bear. That's adorable.
It's so sweet.
That's so cute.
So, in spring of 2002, she began to search for a job because she wasn't making much money off of Social Security checks. And I didn't mention this before, but she is only 4'2". She is very short.
Oh, wow. Small girl.
Yeah. No, she is very small. And so, like, nobody wanted to hire her because she was short. And I'm like, what?
Sad.
That's terrible. Luckily, we live in, well, a slightly better world today, I think. To where, yeah. So her mother ended up, like, divorcing her dad. And so she was dating a man named Carlos. And Carlos had a lot of alcohol problems. So, one day while they were there, Joey ended up getting hurt because Carlos grabbed him by the right leg and fractured Joey's knee. And I mean,
Joey,
you know,
yeah, that is seriously so sad.
Yeah, it is. So she, well, she took him to the emergency room, but she tried to make it sound like it wasn't something that happened in her home life, you know, because otherwise he would get taken away from her because of like the situation that she would be living in. He did end up being taken away from her. And this was obviously really terrible for her. And this, like, really broke her down. So she ended up having to go to, like, court hearings in different places to try to appeal to get Joey back. But she, well, she didn't have a job. And she was having to walk everywhere. And because she was having to walk everywhere, she would sometimes be late. And she would get in a ton of trouble with the judge for being late. One example was she was going to the meeting and one of her family members offered to drive her there. And then last second, they just like didn't want to take her anymore. And so she called and they were like, well, you like because they had offered her a ride before to this. I forgot. Yeah. To say that, I apologize. And she was like, okay, well, can I take that ride now? Like, my family member can't do it. And they were like, you should have taken it before. And she was like, no, I had a ride before. And that didn't go over well with the judge either. And yeah, it was really, really sad.
Sad, because it's like, you need to take in consideration that, like, what she's going through. So it's like, if she's having to walk everywhere, it's like, well, yeah, she's obviously going to be late. But also, courts don't care. They care about the case. And right. They're like, okay, well, you didn't show up, so you obviously don't care. But
yeah, exactly. And that was
but
not
still,
the
it's
case.
Stupid. Yeah, exactly.
As you can clearly tell just by how I'm talking about her. She was very sweet. Yeah. So she was trying really hard to be a fit mother. And so she ended up moving into a bedroom at her cousin's home. And her cousin's name was Lisa. And through Lisa is how Michelle ended up meeting Emily Castro. So, Emily Castro would tell Michelle a little bit about her father, and he ended up seeming like a really nice guy. And, you know, she would even show her pictures and be like, see, look, yeah, this is my dad. So, yeah. One day, she was trying to go to a hearing for Joey, and she was walking with her friend Deanna. So, they were just trying to find this place. It was, like, somewhere pretty far away, and they were just unable to find it. And so, Deanna ended up just having to leave. And so she went into a Family Dollar to ask, like, the cashier if she knew where it was and if she could give her pointers. And the cashier said that she didn't know where this was, but she did hear someone say, I know exactly where that is. And the person that said that was Ariel Castro.
No!
And she was like, oh, you are Emily's father, so this is fine. Because, well, yeah, if you, this is a terrible example, but if you were to, like, see my dad, and he offered me a ride.
Yeah, I would trust him. I'd be like, all right.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, exactly. It's like you trust your friend's parents because you don't think that something is going to happen.
Exactly.
Like this. Okay, pause. I have to readjust. Okay, well, not okay. Really pause. We can just keep going.
I was like, wait, what?
I'm, like, on a bed right now, so it's, like, very creaky, so I'm sorry if it sounds weird.
I haven't heard any creak.
Really? Wow. Yeah. All right. Good job, microphone. Okay.
Good job, microphone. See, that's the difference, is the microphone will only pick up your voice.
Yeah.
I feel like, and the laptop will pick up everything, because it's like, I don't know what to listen to.
Like dogs barking. Yeah.
Exactly. Like,
yeah.
Still don't know why he was barking, but anyways, go on.
He's a good boy. It's all right. Okay, so she was like, oh, hi, I'm Michelle. I am Emily's friend. I know your daughter. And he was like, okay, well, if you give me a second, maybe I can show you how to get there. And then she, like, waited for him to get rung up there. So she was offered a ride from him, and he asked if they could stop by the house before they went. And before they got to the house, he was like, oh, do you like puppies? And she was like, I do, yeah, and so does Joey. And he was like, well, we have some puppies at the house, so I can give one to you to give to Joey. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling uneasy, and I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Who brings someone in, like, with a puppy?
I don't know, but she was just really trying, you know, to get her son back, and he was manipulating his
That is just so daughter's sad. He's like, oh, friend. Joey likes puppies, all right, yeah. Well, let's go get one, so that will help you get him back, because you have a puppy for him. Oh my god, no.
Yeah, and he was like, well, don't worry about me, it's me.
No.
It's me, your friend's father, yeah.
I hate this, Emily.
All right, I'm sorry. So he got out of the car, and then he ended up, like, padlocking the gate behind them, and she was like, why? And he was like, oh, well, the dog that's outside, like the one that had the puppies, she usually gets out. And so she saw this pit bull dog out front, and she was like, why is she outside? Like, why isn't she inside with, you know, her puppies? And he said, oh, well, she just pees all over the house. And so, yeah. So they got into the house. What?
I'm just like, what?
Yeah, I'm everywhere. Yeah, and that's somehow a good excuse. Yeah.
I know. I'm like, what?
So they got inside the house, and apparently this was described as beyond disgusting. And it smelled like a mix of piss, beer, and rotten black beans. And that's how she describes it in the book.
Black beans?
Yeah, like
that's the only thing he ate or something.
I don't know. And apparently there was like trash everywhere, and it was just absolutely disgusting. And do you want to know what he blamed this on?
What?
Being a bachelor.
Ew, he was like, that's disgusting.
I don't have to clean up often.
That's disgusting.
So, mm-hmm.
That's absolutely gross.
Yeah. And so he was like, oh, Emily's upstairs, by the way. Did you want to go say hi to her? And she looked up the stairs, and it was, like, super, like, ominous and dark and terrifying because, yeah. And he was like, she was like, no, I don't want to go up there. And he said this. You ready?
No, I'm not.
Come on. You really don't have to be afraid. It's me, Emily's dad.
What?
Are you kidding me? Oh my gosh. Okay. So I also wrote, which is literally the most disgusting thing I've ever heard in my notes. So.
Oh my god. That is absolutely disgusting.
Yeah. So she got upstairs, and then she went into a bedroom, and he was like, oh, the puppies are in here in that box. So she walked in, and he slammed the door behind them.
Oh, easy trap. Oh
mm-hmm. My god. And so she started obviously freaking out and screaming, and he tied her to a pole with extension cords. And so he like tied her wrists together, and he tied her feet together as well. And then this is a sexual assault trigger warning.
No.
He proceeded to masturbate on her.
What?
Uh-huh. And said, I really want us to be friends. My wife and kids left, and all I want is for someone to be here for me. I need you.
She's like, fucking master. Oh my, excuse my words. I'm sorry. I'm, ugh.
No, this one's hard. Okay. And so after that, he stuffed a gray sock, a dirty gray sock, into her mouth and duct taped her mouth shut to keep it in place. Like, actually, he put duct tape all around her head, excuse me, in order to keep it in place. And all she could do was, like,
moan. Got her hair all up in it.
Yeah, no, she mentions that a couple of days later, or, like, the next day, whenever he takes it out, it, like, rips her hair out, and it was really painful. Yeah.
So sad.
Mm-hmm. So, he ended up leaving, and what he did before he left, he said that he was going to go get them food, and then he turned up the radio as far as it would go, and then went back. And I read somewhere, I don't remember where I read this, but I read somewhere that the music that he turned up, like most of the time with these girls in the house, was salsa music.
What?
Yeah. That's terrifying. That the music is just so cheerful and like happy and oh my gosh.
Like, yeah. It's ready to party and dance. Like, woo! Like, what?
Yeah, it's like being in a traumatic situation and being forced to listen to happy. It just, yeah, there's a lot of psychological torture being happening there.
So crazy.
Yeah. So she looked around the room for like any means of escape, but it seemed that it was going to be basically impossible for her to leave. And so she started to like remember the things that Emily had said to her about her father. And she was questioning, like, did she have any idea that he was a pervert at all? So he came back what seems like it was 2 days later, and he, like, force-fed her McDonald's. He was like, no, you have to eat. And he, like, forced, like, a burger into her.
The heck?
Mm-hmm. So he then forced her to get up, and then he took her into, like, the room that was right next to it. Where there was a queen-size mattress, and there was no sheets, and the mattress was absolutely filthy. And he stripped her of her clothes, and then he raped her. And then, this is absolutely terrifying, he threw money at her.
What?
After he raped her. Like, she was performing some kind of, like, service. For
like,
him.
Like prostitution?
Yeah, and later on...
That she didn't ask for?
Yeah, and later on he said, oh, I thought you were a prostitute. So.
What?
Uh-huh.
No, and... you didn't. You literally lured her into this house.
Uh-huh.
Forcing yeah. her to do things. I'm sorry, but that's not how prostitutes work.
No, I don't think that's... No, it's not. And so he would rape her, like, most of the time, whenever, like, most of these girls, well, specifically Michelle and Gina, would get raped, he would give money to them. And with the money, they would, like, buy things. Like, he would, like, let them buy things. Like, a notebook from him, or, like, a movie, that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
So he could only buy, they could only buy things that were in the house?
Well, I think he would go get them for them as well.
Oh, okay.
But he wouldn't be able to get anything, like, too, like, it would, like, show too much that there's, like, other people there. Like, he would have to get stuff that it would look like he's getting for himself, you know?
So, it wasn't even, like, okay, I get it.
Yeah. Okay.
Gross.
So, something else. This is, horrific. He... learned that she was 21 years old at this point and got mad at her because she wasn't younger.
Ew.
Mm-hmm.
What?
If that doesn't make you just want to, like, die, I don't know what will.
That is seriously so gross.
Yeah.
Like, this whole thing is gross in general, but the fact that he was, like, mad because she's not young... Younger yeah. than 20. 21 is young. Way too young for you.
I know. Yeah, he's... Okay. You're gonna have to, well, put a picture of him on the Instagram, unfortunately. So you're gonna have to look at him.
Oh my god. I've already been... this whole time I've been, like, searching these names and stuff to, like...
Oh, yeah.
Because I like having, you know, visuals.
Yeah, and, definitely.
But I don't really like these visuals, so.
No. In the book that I have, it has, like, pictures. Ooh, I threw the book. It has, like, pictures of the inside of the house, and I'll, like, send you a picture of it, and it's, like, it's terrifying. Like, it is absolutely terrifying.
So gross.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, just so you know, we are almost done with this part. So, okay. It'll be over soon. But it does good. Get worse.
I'm done being tortured. Oh, okay.
Oh, no. Unfortunately not.
I said, I'm done being tortured, and you said, ooh. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. So, he ended up taking her into the basement at this point, where he tied her to a pole. At this point, he also shoved a motorcycle helmet over her head to where she could hardly breathe, and she ended up passing out. Have you ever been in a motorcycle helmet before?
I have not. Actually.
I haven't either.
I was like, wait, have you?
No, I haven't. But it's like, I've heard like how tight it is and stuff like that. And so it gave her a sense of not knowing where she was, because it was also like dark down there. And she was just chained up wearing a really tight helmet. Yeah. So that just like adds to the torture that he was like.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Like without a doubt. So he ended up tying her up down there as well. And she ended up being able to get like some of the ties off of her hand. But she was like trying to, you know, hide it. Because she was like, okay, I need him to like trust me. And so he did unfortunately end up finding out about that. And he ended up torturing her and raping her more as somewhat of a punishment for that. So the toilet that he gave her, by the way, was a green bucket. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. And he would keep that like he put it like close enough to her, like by her, like where she was. She wasn't on a mattress in the basement. It was just her tied up like on the floor. And, like, she would, like, sit on laundry, I believe, sometimes. Like, dirty laundry. Yeah. And so he also started to emotionally manipulate her by telling her, no one's looking for you. Like, I've been looking all around town. There are no posters up for you. Like, no one's looking for you. I haven't seen you on the news at all. And what the hell?
That is so sad.
It is so sad. I can't believe that that's like a... Oh, I mean, I can't believe any of this, obviously.
That's just like the cherry on top of the psychoticness is like, oh, yeah, I'm doing all this too. But hey, by the way, you mean nothing to the outside world. So just keep that in mind. Like, what?
Yeah.
So absolutely cruel.
He would say really terrible things like that. And remember, she got kidnapped, or I guess not remember. I don't think I said what day she got kidnapped. It was like in spring, basically. And so he said that he would probably let her go by around Christmas at this point. And she was like, yeah, I can't last that long in here. So he began to, you know, continue to emotionally manipulate her. This next part is the hardest part for me to talk about.
Oh, by the way. Gosh. Okay, get it over.
I've definitely cried over this. So she got brought back up into the blue bedroom, and he was telling her that he needs to be able to trust him. And she, you know, she's trying to humanize herself. She was like, okay, but I need to trust you too. You never got me a puppy like you told me you were going to. And he was like, so he ended up getting her a puppy. It was a baby pit bull named Lobo. And he gave him a cardboard box to like poop in and pee in. And he would come out and like empty that. And she said in the book that he would empty that more than he would empty like her bathroom.
Please.
So, yeah. And every time he would come in to assault her, he would like put Lobo outside, and she really bonded with this puppy, and she said that it was like the only thing making her happy. One night, he didn't take Lobo out of the bedroom, and he started, you know, attacking her, and so Lobo got very defensive over this. And so he was like yelling at her, shut that dog up. And, you know, he wasn't shutting up. And so he ended up killing him.
No, no.
Yeah. And, yeah. I'm going to read you. This is like one of the times that I actually might cry on the podcast, because I can't handle it
right now. Are you kidding me? Yeah.
So this is episode 12. It's called The Backyard. It says, without my little Lobo, the days went back to endless hours of boredom. I still had the radio, but I missed my puppy with all my heart. I talked to Joey every day, and sometimes I talked to Lobo too. You're a good boy, I'd tell him. I'd shut my eyes and pretend I was holding him in my lap, stroking his soft puppy fur. You're my sweet little dog. We'll always be together. So,
I don't like this one.
No. Don't worry. There is nothing else to do with animals. I do feel the need to let you know, because I know how much both of us love animals. It's not... Yeah. Okay, so are you ready to keep going, or do you want to go ahead and do a palate cleanser now, and then I can finish up?
I say rip the Band-Aid off, and then we'll do a palate cleanser.
Do you want to get one pulled up so you can only, like, half-heartedly listen to this? Okay. So, that's basically what happened with the puppy.
Don't mention it!
I have to... so one day he took her outside, and the way that he did this was he dressed her up in like a wig and like sweatpants and a sweatshirt. And he also threatened her with a gun and was saying, if you do anything, I will shoot you in the head. So whenever they got back inside, he got her to take off like the sweats that he gave her. And he was like, take all of it off. So she ended up like getting naked. And he did not give her her clothes back. So she was chained up naked for 4 months.
4 months?
4 months.
What the heck?
I know. And, oh, at this point, by the way, I didn't mention this. He did give her like a small TV. So she was able to, like, entertain herself a little bit. But he would still blast the music whenever he left. So it was, like, kind of hard to pay attention to it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then most of this happened, by the way, within a year. So we're about, like, a year into this by now. So now it is April 21st, and... that is the day that Amanda Berry went missing, and that is where we're going to end part one. So, yeah, what did you think about that?
It was horrible.
Uh-huh.
And I bawled. Yeah. I took a picture of my face, and I'll send it to you right now.
Okay. Oh, honey.
No!
Yeah, this one. So sad. This one is really, really hard.
And there's more to it. Like, what the heck?
Oh no. Yeah, there's still two more victims for us. I did. I'm so sorry.
You did that to me.
I did do that to you. Well, no, that wasn't me. That was Ariel Castro.
Okay, but you told me this story, so
I did. That's you. That's true.
So that's on you.
So that is the first victim, who is Michelle Knight. And we are going to obviously talk about her more, because she ended up being held captive for 11 years.
11?
11. And what? The other girls were, I think, Amanda Berry was captive for 10 years, and I think Gina De Jesus was captive for 9 or 8 years. So, yeah.
Oh my god.
Mm-hmm. It's so long. It's such a long time. And I'm going to fit it into two parts. I'm going to do it.
That is, it's horrible. Okay, I think it's time for some funny facts.
Yes, please.
Okay. It's estimated that the average fart travels at a speed of 7 miles per hour.
That's so fast.
It zooms.
It really does. Wow.
While in Kentucky, U.S., make sure to never carry ice cream in your back pocket. It's illegal in the state.
Thank God I would never carry ice cream in my pocket. That sounds like a very sticky mess.
Disgusting but true, crocodile poop was once used for contraceptive purposes.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Wait, what is that?
To stop babies.
Seriously? Crocodile poop?
I mean, I don't know how they may have done that. Do you think it may have been like a birth control kind of pill?
Maybe, like they put it in the pill or something.
Maybe.
Like in the very beginning. Probably. I don't know.
I don't know. That's weird. I don't like it.
Ever wonder why Santa Claus always seems to wear the color red? You have Coca-Cola to thank. Up until their branding from the 1930s onwards, he traditionally wore green.
Oh. Wait, really?
Apparently. According to FactCity.com.
Thank you, FactCity.com. That's all weird. Right. I want to Google green Santa Claus. Hold on. I just want to know what he looks like.
Green Santa.
Oh, there he is.
There he is.
It looks like wrong. I don't like it.
Okay, last one before we can wrap it up. It's thought that there are around 350 sheep to every one person in the Falkland Islands.
Oh, God. If sheep were to overturn that country, though, imagine the chaos.
Yeah, honestly, though. Okay, hold on. Donkeys apparently won't sink in quicksand. We still wouldn't recommend you try it. Trust us on this one.
Wait, why won't they? Is there, like, a reason?
I don't know. I literally just said they won't.
But not to test it? Okay, well, that doesn't sound right.
I know. Okay, I feel better now that I know that donkeys can't sink. I don't like green Santa.
Yeah, me neither. He's not very cash money.
He's not like it at all. No. He's not very cash money.
He isn't.
He's trying to look like he's money.
Man, he's really out there trying. It's not working, Santa. You better stop.
Oh my gosh. Alrighty, guys. I'm glad we were able to talk about green Santa and donkeys not sinking. We hope y'all enjoyed, but hopefully you didn't cry like I did. Anyways, you can follow us on Twitter at
party_horror.
And Instagram.
Horror Slumber Party Podcast.
And YouTube.
Horror Slumber Party.
I'm a little lost, apparently.
Well, I just said Horror Slumber Party Party. So Horror Slumber Party Podcast.
That's our new name. Anyways.
Yeah.
And then also be sure to check out our Patreon.
Which is just Horror Slumber Party Podcast. If you Google it, I think it should show up. It'll still be in the show notes. Don't worry.
Perfect.
Oh, my goodness, Fig.
Do you hear Figgy meow?
Yeah, she wants so out. Loud.
Oh. No. But yeah, lastly, we will make sure to post pictures on all of the social medias so you know when our next recording will be coming out and so on. We missed you guys, and we're so excited to be back after our little break because of homework and work. So, yeah.
Unfortunately, we don't make enough on the podcast to
Unfortunately, we have to have a day job, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I wish we didn't, man. Imagine.
Oh, my God.
Will everyone listen to this episode? That way we can not have day jobs anymore.
Yes, please. Just let us take over. I'd totally be fine with that.
Dude, same.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening. We love y'all. Good night and scary dreams.
Bye.